going into his house and taking care of, you know, all that new homeowner stuff. So that's okay. We've got a full day and we've got a lot to talk about. I have to say that this morning we're going to sound a little bit like a commercial for Microsoft. I don't mean to, but they have some really neat products in the pipeline, and they're worth mentioning. They also dovetail nicely with today's topic. Actually, we've got a couple of topics. So anyway, for such a long time, you know, Microsoft is known more for its software company rather than hardware. But, of course, that started to change, you know, as soon as they brought out the Microsoft Surface. Kind of changed things quite a bit. You know, if you think about where technology is going, the lines between software and hardware are starting to blur. So it definitely makes sense that, you know, Microsoft is going in this more hardware-oriented. Not to say that they're not doing software. You know, we all know that, you know, they will always continue with their flagship Windows desktop operating system. And speaking of Windows, Windows 10 should be coming out later this year. And that kind of the coming out with Windows 10, you know, also makes some of these new products a bit more relevant. So anyway, let's talk Microsoft and some of the cool things that they're coming out with. The first one, and this is kind of a standalone topic. It doesn't quite go with the rest of what I want to talk about. But it's a cool little thing. And, you know, let me tell you, I don't know what the price point's going to be on this, but I imagine it's going to be a little bit pricey. But for a business perspective, it's awesome. And I think eventually we're going to start seeing this, you know, this kind of thing coming out consumer priced. Look it up. It's really awesome. It's called the Microsoft Surface Hub. Think the Surface on steroids. Very, very, very cool technology, especially from a collaborative business standpoint. What it is, it's an 84-inch 4K, meaning it's going to have really, really, really nice clarity. It's an 84-inch 4K TV, but it's more than a TV. It'll have a nice built-in speakers, built-in cameras, microphones, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and NFC, which is near-field communication. So basically, it can receive data from all those different devices. More importantly, it's touch. It's 100 touch points, meaning you can have really, really nice collaboration. You can have your team using this thing, interacting with it. Much, much nicer than a smartphone or smart board. Not a smartphone, smart board. It's not only touch enabled with fingers, but you can also use a pen for input. And I'm sure that, you know, with the Bluetooth and all of that, you can even use if you really, really insist, you can use a keyboard for input. Comes out later this year. That's what they're saying. You know, it's basically a computer. Think of it as a great big, that's why I said it's a Surface on steroids, because it really is a big, big computer monitor with the computing all built in. It will also run Microsoft Office, so you can have all of your documents up there, your PowerPoints, et cetera, et cetera. And there also is going to be a 55-inch Microsoft Surface Hub. Check it out. Really, really cool. If you want to see it, if you're dying to see it, which I am, I'm not sure if I'll make it, but it will be in Chicago. There's an event called Ignite, I-G-N-I-T-E. It runs May 4th through the 8th, and it's basically Ignite is a marketplace thing where you can go and see all kinds of technology geared more towards business rather than the consumer. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of years if we don't see something similar. I don't know if we're going to see it in the 55-inch, but, you know, definitely once the possibility is there, I'm sure we're going to start seeing something like this in a little bit smaller more consumer type of thing, because technology is kind of awesome. So anyway, Microsoft Surface Hub. Next thing I wanted to talk about, and this is one of our topics for today, I want to talk about immersive technology, whether you call it immersive technology, virtual reality, augmented reality. It's really, really heating up. There's some products that are out there. Some of them are prototypes. Some of them are getting really, really close to being available for the consumer. But basically what we're talking about here with this immersive technology, this virtual reality, is we're talking literally about being immersed in what you're seeing. Think about simplest terms. There's a product called the Avogant Glyph, Glyph, and that's the kind of simplest one version of this. It looks basically like a pair of fancy headphones, but the it flips down over the eyes, and it's kind of a close-up TV screen. Now, this one works a little bit different. The Glyph works a little bit different in that it literally, and this is going to sound scary, but believe me, it's not harmful at all to the eyes, but it basically kind of shoots the vision part, the movie, whatever it might be, onto the retina, so you see it very, very close. And it has an HDMI input, so you can input any video, whether it's coming from, you know, a TV or a computer. It will display 3D. Think of it as your own personal TV. If you look at the video, that's exactly what they, you know, how they show it is this guy's wearing this thing, and he wears it as a headphone when he wants to listen to music. But as soon as he wants to watch TV, you can hook it up to your smartphone. You can hook it up to any kind of thing that's going to input in video. That's the simplest term, you know, personal TV kind of thing. There's a couple of others that are very, very similar to that. Sony's got one coming out. And again, it's I've actually demoed the Sony one, an older model. Now it's actually getting wearable, and it's very cool. The one that I demoed was 3D, and I thought that, you know, it was going to look really like right there up against the eye, and it actually didn't. It had depth to it. It was like you were sitting in your own movie theater, and very, very nice. Nice picture, very clear, and the sound was, you know, right there. So very cool. Again, those are, you know, those are more of what we call the immersive technology, where you're immersed in what you're viewing, but more like just seeing movies. And you can use them for games as well. In fact, the Glyph, you can attach a game controller to it, and you can play games with it. The others that I'm going to talk about, they're getting into that virtual reality, that augmented reality kind of thing, where you really do feel like you're right in the moment. The first one I'm going to talk about is Oculus Rift. Oculus Rift has got really, really big buzz in the gaming world. And unfortunately, if Dave were here, he would be able to tell us all about it. It's a headset. You wear it. It kind of looks like, when I look at it, it kind of reminds me of wearing, you know, goggles that you might wear if you were swimming underwater, you know, deep sea kind of thing, because it covers pretty much the whole top of your face. The Oculus Rift does display 3D. I read some comments. I haven't used it because I'm not much of a gamer, you know, and you all know that. But the Oculus Rift, some of the people that have used it, they've talked about how you do get so involved in the game and so intensely in the game. When you take it off, it takes you a little bit to adjust being back in the real world. because you are so involved. It's like when you're fighting monsters or something like that, you feel like you're right there. And this is what we're talking about with immersive technology. We're talking about to the point where you literally, seriously feel like you are involved in that. Oculus Rift, again, it hasn't come out on the consumer market, although they are truly expecting that it will this year. Right now, headsets, you can buy a headset. They're being sold to developers to develop technologies and applications using it. And it's about $300 for the development kit. But I think this is, you know, the reason I wanted to mention the whole immersive technologies is I think by next year we're going to really see this out there as a consumer item. And, you know, if you've got gamers in the family, this is going to be on their Christmas list for sure. So Oculus Rift is one. Another one that looks really, really promising. You've got to take a look at the video. Well, let me back up a second before I talk about this other one. Coming back to Microsoft, and I had promised you that we're going to talk a little bit about Microsoft today. Microsoft has got a technology that, again, is supposed to come out later this year. It's called the HoloLens. And again, Google that. Take a look at some of the videos. You know, this is the bad thing about radio is I can't do these products justice talking about them. You have to see them to believe them. But the Microsoft HoloLens is a little bit different in that you're not seeing the video right up against your face. The HoloLens is projecting literal holograms in front of you. What's nice about the HoloLens is the glasses are basically see-through. That's one of the limitations with the Oculus Rift and the Avogant Glyph, is that your vision of the rest of the world is somewhat blocked because these are right in front of your eyes. Where the HoloLens, you're wearing glasses, but you see through them, so you can still see the rest of the world. And the holograms are projected in front of you. The HoloLens takes advantage of the Kinect technology, so you can gesture with your hands. You can, you know, they're not solid. They're holograms, so they're emitted, you know, with light beams. But you can interact with those holograms. And one of the really nice videos, and this is where I see the HoloLens, I see it applications, immediate applications in two places. One of them is in product development, and that's one of the neat videos. They show a woman, and she's working on a motorcycle design, and she says, I think the gas tank needs to be a little bit higher. So she kind of picks up the gas tank a little bit, almost like pinching it, and stretches it, you know, to heighten it a little bit, and the gas tank comes with, because the gas tank is a hologram. So, you know, from that aspect, it's really cool. The other thing that I see the HoloLens being really, really useful is if you are on a video conference with someone else and you're both wearing this HoloLens, you're seeing what each other sees in front of you. So let's say that I am trying to, you know, fix a leaky sink, and I'm on the phone in a video conference with a plumber. The plumber can see what I'm looking at and can direct me to what I need to do. And in fact, one of the big demos that Microsoft did is they had the people wearing this HoloLens installing an electrical circuit, getting instructions from somebody else who was seeing what they were seeing and could guide them, you know, through that. The HoloLens, the possibilities are endless, seriously. In education, this is where it gets really, really exciting. You can take students to places that they've never been before. You want to tour the pyramids? You put the HoloLens on, and you can walk through the pyramids like you're there. You can get a 360-degree view. Microsoft earlier had purchased the pixel development game Minecraft, and now with the combination of Minecraft and the HoloLens, I think we're going to take discovery learning to a whole new level. So that's a really, you know, that's that immersive technologies where you're involved in the whole world and also that virtual reality. So this next one I'm going to talk about takes the combination of the two, and this one is called the Sulon Cortex, S-U-L-O-N Cortex. And the Sulon Cortex takes both, kind of that hologram sort of thing, so that when you wear it, you actually are seeing through your world, but you're also seeing the video. This one, again, is in development still. It's still very prototype, but if it comes to fruition the way that, you know, the developers think it will, they showed a kid playing a game, you know, a game to kill monsters, and he's wearing this. And the neat thing about the Sulon Cortex and the HoloLens is they're both wireless. The others, you have to actually be tied to the device. So even, you know, if you're tied to a smartphone, then you can carry it with your pocket so you can move around. But if you're tied to a computer, you can't go very far. With the Sulon Cortex and the HoloLens, they're wireless, so you can walk around with this. And, you know, that's where the Sulon Cortex was kind of cool, you know, playing a game. You're sitting there with, you know, walking through the you know, building through your room, and monsters are coming through the floor and are, you know, attacking you, and you have to, you know, kill them. You know, this is, if you're a fan of Star Trek, The Next Generation and the holodecks, you know, the holodecks have solid, they're solid. You know, we're not solid yet, but that we're coming closer. We're coming so much closer, you know, so if you can envision that, you know, I think next year's gamers are going to be just, you know, fascinated with this stuff. And, you know, not only is this the possibilities for gaming, but again, virtual reality and education. You know, this is another one that's very, very exciting. We talked about, you know, being able to go and tour the Smithsonian. But think about it also from distance learning standpoint. You know, right now, distance learning, it's kind of asynchronous. You know, the instructor posts assignments and the students do the assignments. And yes, you can have some, you know, collaboration with discussion boards. You can have video conferencing. But now we can take distance learning to that, you know, next step where you can be sitting in your home, but by using one of these, you know, virtual reality or augmented reality devices, you can be in the classroom. So the instructor's in the classroom, all of your, you know, the students are in the classroom sitting at, you know, their tables and their desks. But in reality, they're at home, but they're seeing everybody else in that classroom. And, you know, now we've gone, you know, our classrooms are no longer, you know, tied to specific locations. We can now have global classes. So you can have scholars from all over the world in that same classroom, you know, and talk about a so much richer experience, you know, for students is being able to, you know, bring that into the classroom. So watch for this. It's going to be very, very cool. So last topic, okay, this is kind of an interesting topic, and it's actually going to dovetail with next month. We're kind of going to do this health technology thing today and then our next show for April. So let's talk about wearables. Some of you may already be using these. Couple of them that are kind of strictly that exercise sort of thing. We've got the Fitbit and we've got the Jawbone, but now they, you know, went even further. And we hadn't really talked about this as a topic yet, even though there's a lot of them out there. You know, we just haven't really talked about, spent any time on these. So I thought today would be a good day to talk about them, primarily because as we do with a lot of things, Apple kind of drives the topic in some respects. So let's talk about smartwatches. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. So we had the, as I mentioned, we had the activity trackers prior to this, the you know, Fitbit and the Jawbone, very inexpensive. You can, you know, pick them up for, you know, about $100. And they, you know, keep track of your steps that you walk, your heart rate. You know, they've got conductivity. And they're very, very cool. And they help you, you know, with keeping track of your health, so to speak. But smartwatches take that one step further. Yes, they've got the health built in, you know. They've got the health built in, but they've also got a lot more technology in that they can interact with your, you know, smartphone. So you can see, you know, emails on there. You can see, you know, various different headlines. So let's talk about a few of them that are out there. Now, the one thing that I do want to say about smartwatches is they... You know, the thing is that they haven't taken off as much as people thought they would. And I think part of that is when you think about a watch, you know, you kind of think about that, you know, $30 Timex, you know, some people buy, you know, more. But smartwatches are kind of on the pricey side. So you have to convince yourself that you really, really need that or want that integration with your smartphone and your watch. But let's talk about a few of the different brands. So the leader right now with the smartwatch market is the Samsung. And part of that is because a lot of people have Samsung smartphones. And the Samsung Gear, and this was a big thing. Everybody was so excited about Samsung Gear. They've got a couple of different ones that we're going to talk about. The first one that I want to talk about is the Samsung Gear S. It's this is the other side about smartphones, and if you take a look at these, they're kind of chunky and clunky. And if you are small wristed, you really, you know, have to, you know, your pickings are a little on the slim side because most of them are pretty good sized. And if you think about what they're showing on the screen, yeah, they're going to be. But the Samsung Gear S, it's a little on the big side. It's got a very, very nice screen. Apps are a little bit on the limited side. And again, you do need a Samsung phone in order to use it. Cost is about $330 to $350, plus there's a data fee with that. If you don't want to use the data plan, then you're going to be using it off strictly off of Wi-Fi. So, you know, it's probably not the most popular Samsung one. The other one that Samsung has that is definitely, you know, more popular in the Samsung market, and that's the one that probably, you know, more people, you know, take a look at when they think of the Samsung, and that's the Samsung Gear Live. $200 for this one, and it is an Android watch. It does fit better on the wrist. It's a little smaller than the other one, and a little bit nicer. You know, nicer looking. The wristband, and this is a big limitation for a lot of these smartwatches, is the wristbands are kind of stiff. But this one has a nice, you know, nice conforming wristband, so it'll fit. Another one that's a little bit more affordable, there's actually two versions for this one, and this is the Pebble. The lower priced version is $99. It looks a little like a kid's watch, but it's still kind of nice. And what's nice about the Pebble is it will work with any Apple or Android phone because it uses Bluetooth. So it's a little bit nicer. Now, there is a little bit more pricey one called the Pebble Steel. It's a little bit more sturdy, and that one's about $200. But you'll still get your texts, your emails, all those notifications, and, of course, you'll get the, you know, the health thing. couple of others that are, you know, out there, and this is another one. Microsoft entered the market with the Microsoft Band. Right now they're out of stock, but it's $200. Comes in three different sizes, and you know, you'd think it only integrates with the Microsoft phone, but it'll actually integrate with Android phones as well. So it's not just limited to Microsoft. And it's got a nice little look, a little bit slimmer screen than the others, and it only does like, you know, a one or two headlines. All right, let's talk about the Apple Watch now. You know, again, LG's got them, you know, Asus, Sony's got them, you know, every manufacturer out there. And interestingly, even the Swiss watchmaker Swatch is coming out with their own smartwatch later this year. But let's talk about the Apple Watch. Due out 24 April. It's pre-sale right now. Will cost you anywhere from $350 to, everybody's sitting down, $17,000. Now, the $17,000 one, you know, those are, you know, your precious metals and, you know, the straps and everything else. But, yes, you can buy an Apple Watch for $17,000. But let's talk about the $350 version because they've all got the same capabilities, okay? Takes about 2.5 hours to charge. And it's got about a day and a half battery life. At least that's what they're up to 72 hours if everything's kind of turned off. But some of the things that you can do with the Apple Watch is kind of cool. You know, you just push the little crown. You know, that's the thing that, you know, we used to wind our watches with. You push that and you get kind of like a, you know, fully functioning iPad in certain respects. But some of the things that you can do with it, hotel rooms that are compatible with it, you can use it to unlock your hotel room. It's an alternative to a key card. You can check a name of the song, you know, using that app Shazam. So Shazam will be available. Open an internet-connected garage door remotely. So you can open your garage door and your house door if you've got, you know, that technology with it. You can also use Apple Pay with the flick of a wrist. So that's kind of cool with that. And, of course, you know, the other things that you can, you know, get with the, you know, iPad. You can do your Facebook. You can do your Instagram. Uber is integrated with it, with the, you know, Apple Watch. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens with smartwatches. As I had said earlier, smartwatches, they haven't taken off like the makers thought they would. So will the Apple Watch make that different? Now, thing with the Apple Watch is it only integrates with the Apple iOS. So if you want to integrate it with your phone, you've got to have an Apple phone. But you can do those other apps with it. So you don't have to have an Apple phone to take advantage of it because it will be running the Apple iOS on it. So think of it as a very, very tiny Apple iPad, if you will. So those are some smartwatches. And again, they'll all come with those health trackers. So you can, you know, keep track of your steps, keep track of your caloric intake, keep track of your heart rate. Some of them have got some, you know, more health things built into it. It just kind of depends on it. Take a look at the Microsoft Band. I found it interesting that it was out of stock, and I wonder if that's because they're retooling it to give a little bit more functionality. But it had some really, really nice health features. Some of them are really, really nice. One of the other ones that I really liked was the Asus Zen Watch for $200. Very, very stylish looking. And it takes a regular watch band as well, so you can change that up. So, all right, as I promised, next month we'll be talking a little bit more about health and technology. Everybody have a great rest of your week.
You've been listening to Technology Matters with hosts Christine Lazaro and Dave Snedeker.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by John Nicholson, a retired Racine Unified Administrator, Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the Teacher Education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconcert, an Associate Professor of Education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired